It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. The song The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald tells the tale of a cargo ship that met bad weather on the biggest of the Great Lakes, Lake Superior. The boat capsized and killed all 29 of the crew on board.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
Gitche-Gumee is the Ojibwe tribal name for what we call Lake Superior. It means big water, a perfect name for what is, by surface area, the largest freshwater lake in the world. It's also the deepest and coldest of the Great Lakes, but James Kitchell, an emeritus professor at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, says that's changing.
Lake Superior is warming faster than any of the other Great Lakes. In fact, it's warming faster than any lake on the planet. The lake itself, in the past three decades, has warmed 3 degrees centigrade, which in round numbers would mean 6 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's warming at a rate that actually exceeds the melting rate of the ice caps in the Arctic and Antarctic oceans.
So, wait a second. It's counterintuitive that the largest of the Great Lakes, Lake Superior, and the coldest, is actually warming more quickly than the smaller lakes in the region. Why is that?
It's because of the substantial surface area of Lake Superior, which absorbs solar radiation. And yeah, it is counterintuitive to say that, my goodness, what has been known as a very cold lake is actually getting warmer. So it is due primarily to this reduction in ice cover and what's called an ice albedo effect. Now, when there's ice on the lakes, a lot of that solar energy is reflected back into the atmosphere. But in the most recent three decades, the duration of ice on the lake has reduced by as much as 50% or more. And the result is that more solar radiation enters and stays in the water column, and the lake warms more quickly.
So how has this increased in temperature, some 3 degrees centigrade, almost 6 degrees Fahrenheit, how has that affected Lake Superior as habitat for fish?
Well, because it has been a cold lake, it's largely been dominated by cold water fishes. But we're now shifting toward one that would be allowing a greater abundance of cool water fishes, things that do live best at warmer temperatures. The habitat for things like lake trout, which is a native fish and had been the dominant fish as an apex predator in that system, that habitat has been increasing in its extent and duration. In fact, at this point in history, the lake trout in Lake Superior are probably as abundant as they have ever been. And by that I mean ever. When Hiawatha looked out upon Gitche-Gumee, there was no commercial fishery. There were no sea lampreys to kill the population of trout. And it now has, because sea lampreys are controlled, the commercial fisheries have been reduced. There now are as many or more trout in Lake Superior than had been the case ever in history.
How are the local Native American tribes adapting to these changing fish populations?
They're participating in the general goal of restoration of the native fish communities in the Great Lakes. Their hatcheries are producing lake trout, they're producing brook trout, and they're producing walleyes now, which is a relatively new thing for them to do. The walleye is a cool water fish. They had been present in Lake Superior for lots of years, but they've been pretty much restricted to the warmer waters near shore and into the shallow bays. But what's happened as a consequence of this expansion of habitat for the walleye is that their populations have expanded. The walleye in this part of the world, in the Great Lakes region, is held with reverence because they're so good to eat.
So I understand that the catch rate for fishermen reflect that change in population dynamics. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, a decade ago, they were catching walleye at about 0.002 fish per day of fishing. They're now catching 7.2 per day of fishing. That's a big change, a very big change.
Professor, how do you think climate change is affecting the local economy when it comes to the fisheries?
There is substantial possibility that the local economy will increase as a consequence of having walleye. There are going to be more people fishing for walleye. They're going to spend money buying bait, buying food, staying on hotels, having a beer with the boys after dinner, those kinds of things. So it's the economic boost of recreational fishery in the Great Lakes has been phenomenal.
So we have a situation where over the short term, at least there's a benefit from the warming climate if you're in the business of fishing for walleye and lake trout.
Yes, that's true. There's a constraint, and the constraint is, there are two constraints. There's a constraint that more fish means less food per fish, which means growth rates have actually declined some. There are more fish, but they tend to be less than the average size. That's one constraint. The other constraint is a management challenge, and that is the sea lamprey, which devastated the lake trout populations in all of the Great Lakes. Temperature has created more opportunity for sea lampreys, and the sea lampreys have an unlimited supply of food. Individual lampreys will kill more fish because they have a longer period of time at preferred temperatures. And that means a greater amount of money must be chartered towards controlling the lamprey populations. And that's a challenge for the Canadian and American government. And as you may have heard, we don't have a government right now. And the consequence of that is that we don't have any money, and it's unlikely that we will have any to respond in ways that actually control the lamprey as that population continues to expand.
Professor James Kitchell is at the Center for Limnology at the University of Wisconsin. Thanks so much, Professor.
Thank you very much for allowing me to tell you some fish stories. I've enjoyed that.